Hey y'all, so I was all on the roll doing the little, you know, talking to you all and doing my podcast. And when I went to pick up the phone, it showed that the podcast was off. And I should have turned the podcast off, but when I went to publish it, I didn't even listen because I was like, I'm getting ready to make this drive back. So I get to talk to my people again and make this journey where I'm going. I guess I need to put in my address where I'm going. So, I don't know what part cut off, and I apologize if I'm repeating something, but it took 59 minutes, so I'm pretty sure you all will get the gist of what I was talking about. So, give me 1 second. I'm going to get started, and we're going to go. So, what I want to tell you all is, you know, what I was saying in the end is a lot of people don't realize that we're not living for them. We're living for our own success, our own happiness, our own everything. I'm not trying to, you know, be that person for you or the next person. I want to motivate and encourage you. And then with everything that I have been going through for the last, it has been almost 16 months. I have to realize that it only positions you for the greater things in life. I could recall being in the 10X conference earlier this year, and Rick Ross said, haters gonna come from every direction, especially when you start elevating. So, and a lot of times we don't realize that, or we don't understand it in the beginning, that haters are gonna come no matter what we do. So if I'm doing something good to help people, somebody might have a problem with it because they can't understand, you know, and I like to use me as an example. And you guys know that if you've been listening to my podcast since 2017, when I first launched it, I like to talk about me and what I have dealt with and what I deal with and what I go through in my life. I'm not cross judgment on anybody. I'm not judgmental. I will tell you, if you sit and you tell me your story, we're going to try to figure out a way for you to get beyond that point and build better. That has always been me and who I am as a person. You can't take my character away from me, and you can't take away the things that people know to be true of me, including my kid's father. Even when my kid's dad have his problems, I try to motivate and encourage him to move forward, you know. And he will tell you, when he get in a bind, I give you an example. You know, it was said that my middle kid's dad should have got them and raised them because I was a horrible mother. And I didn't raise my kids right. So I bust out laughing. A couple of my friends, we all was like, this can't be real. Like, this got to be a true joke. They can't honestly know you, nor know your kid's father with that type of statement. Because if you know me and you know my kid's father, you know that he did 7.5 years in the feds. So, with that being said, 7.5 years of my kid's life, my two middle kids are what you call Irish twins, because they are born literally 10 months apart. So that's what they call, it's called an Irish twin. Hold on, guys, I gotta get a drink because I am parched.
Back at the
Jack in the Box,
how may I help you?
Yes, can I get a large Coke, and that'll be it.
$4.06.
Thank you. Yeah, I heard that right. She said $4.06 for a large drink. But where I'm at, it's expensive out here, and I just got to accept it and keep moving. But what I was saying is, if you knew me and you knew who my kids' fathers are, at no time would you tell. That wouldn't have been a statement that would have came out of my mouth. Like, seriously, I would have never said anything like that, because that just shows the level of ignorance, you know, for somebody to say. But neither here nor there. We have that relationship. Whenever he gets into a bind or a situation and he needs that real live encouragement and motivation and talk, he called me. And he always called me, and the first thing he say, "What's going on, Tech? How you doing?" And he'll say something off the wall like, "You don't even call a nigga," and I hate that N-word. Then he'll stop himself and he'd be like, "Well, you don't even, well, man, baby mama, what's going on? Like, what my bree doing?" That's always him. Where my dude, what P at? What little P at? You know, it always be something like that. And we'll laugh and joke. And then some days I'd be like, "I really don't want to talk to you, but what do you want?" But because of the person I am, I don't hold no grudges against nobody and what they've done to me. But when he called me, sometimes, I remember when his wife left him. And he called me and he was crying. And I literally said to him, "Dude, the hell you crying for? Pick yourself up. You supposed to be Mr. Macho. Or you finally ran into that one that broke you." Don't start. But I know that I broke him too. Because see, when I broke up with old boy back in 2020, you know, the same person somebody took the time to go and find. When I broke up with him back in 2020, my ex called me and he said, "I was kind of glad y'all broke up. Man, I seen y'all taking them trips and all overseas and stuff. That was supposed to be me and you." See, you got people, and we don't even realize, that literally will be watching what you're doing in life and praying for your downfall. So you got to literally, like, honestly, you got to stay prayed to your God. See, I don't tell y'all who to pray to. I tell you to your God, your higher being, whoever you ask help for. You got to stay within that ring. And you got to stay faithful in that ring. Before you lay your head down, you got to say, "Listen, you know, y'all, I say Howard. Howard, I'm going to need you to protect me. Howard, I'm going to need you to please guide me and show me what could be wrong. If somebody is praying against me, Howard, I'm going to ask you to blind them from my vision so that they don't see me and what I'm doing, and because they're so wrapped up in them and what they're doing." And that's all I could do. Like, that's literally all I could do. That's all I could offer them. I don't have nothing else to offer. Because when you guys think about it, you'll display something that you have with somebody else and y'all could be all good. Everything could be going great. And then, boom. Every day you having problems. You're not understanding, like, why we fighting so much. We never fought like this. We never had these kind of problems. What's going on? I don't know what it is. The problem is you didn't keep that prayer in your relationship. You didn't keep that prayer in your house. You didn't pray over that person that you're with, that man or woman, because some of y'all date women, and that's perfectly fine. That's your life. But that man or that woman that you're with, you didn't pray and say, "I need this guidance and I need it." Because the thing that get is, we get so wrapped up in the fun of it, we forget the part that needs to be the most fun. Is that you pray for protection over it. That you ask for guidance. That if this isn't where I need to be, help me and remove me. Help me and release me. See, a lot of people was thinking, it was said by that same some person that don't even know, he left her for something better. But see, I prayed to my God. And I asked my God, "If this isn't where you want me at, release me. Remove it from my life." And lo and behold, a few days later, I was released. In the beginning, it hurt. In the beginning, I didn't know. I was like, "I'm going to fix this." And Howard was saying, "I told you, if I remove it, you got to let it go." But here I am trying to hold on to it. I'm trying to bring it back when I asked to be released. So this is where it comes with the healing. See, I tried to jump in a relationship like I told y'all. But I told old boy, "Hey, this ain't gonna work. I can't do this." That's me after talking to Howard and Howard telling me, "Hey." And y'all, I know y'all probably saying, "Well, who the hell is Howard?" See, it's God. And somebody asked on a TikTok, "What's God's real name?" And the lady said, "Howard. Howard be thy name." It was just a skit. But I love that, because now I'm personal with it. I'm real personal with it. Like, I feel like I'm grounded with it. That's God. But I just got my, you know, me and him, we rock together. We strong. We real strong. So I say to Howard, I say, "Well, ain't never had this problem with him. Anytime I say, I'm sorry, let's get back together, he always said yes. But this time, he was like, I don't know. I see about it. I don't know. Takresha, you hurt me bad. Da, 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 da. Then I'm like, well, how the hell I hurt you? I can't understand how I hurt you because you the one that was cheating. You know? And then I have to think about it. You cheating. You sleeping with other women. I don't want to catch HIV. See, we worried about COVID. And now we worried about monkeypox. But HIV has never left. It's still here. And I'm going to be here for my family. And I don't need you to play Russian roulette with my life. Because you sleeping with women, that's okay waiting. Because if they waiting for you, they waiting for somebody else. So, and then you don't know what somebody else doing. So now you risking my life. You playing with my life. So then I said, all right, Howard, I'm going to sit still. I'm going to see what you want me to do. So I went, I deleted everything that connected me to this person. I blocked on the social media page completely. I can't see his stuff and I'm perfectly fine with that. He created another page, I blocked that page. He created another page, I blocked that page. Now if he's created another page, I have no idea. I don't even know. I know the one page that he created was when he went to Facebook jail while we was in jail. And I never remembered that page. I forgot all about that page, I should say. And when it popped up, it popped up as people you may know. And I was like, shit. So I blocked that one. Then when he created this last page, I didn't know what was going on. I kept seeing this pop up and I was like, what is this? So I was like, I ain't clicking on it. So then I said, nope, go block it, Takresha. Cause he got you this far. So why you gonna let that be? It's like the devil just pulling you back in. So I went on there, I clicked it, I blocked the page. I didn't even look on the page. I just went, blocked, and I moved on about my day. See, one thing about me, once I'm done, I never have to talk to you again. My ex from Miami texts me. I don't even have his number stored in my phone no more, but he texts me. And he said, hey, how you doing? So I looked at the text message. I was like, I don't even know who this is. I ain't finna respond. So I didn't respond, and a couple of days went by, and he texted again, Takresha, how you doing? So now I'm like, well, damn, they got to know me because they said my name. And I see the 786 area code, so I text back and was like, I'm sorry, but who is this? And he told me who it was, and I was like, oh, I'm doing fine. How you doing? And you know, the conversation was cordial. And then he started with, you know, I miss you. I think about you. You be on my mind a lot, but I don't miss the BS. So I responded back and say, okay, I understand, but I don't understand what BS because you weren't willing to be committed to one person. And I don't want a poly lifestyle, or I don't want a lifestyle where long as I know that he coming home to me, I ain't got nothing to worry about. That's not a relationship to me. So he said, Takresha, all you had to do was work with me. It was gonna change. Okay, you have a good day because I got things to do. I don't want to hold no conversation with ignorance. I don't. I'm going to work with you because things going to change. Same thing with old boy, you know, him telling me them his platonic friends and, you know, everything that he was telling me, I'm supposed to believe it. And then he would say, you accusing me and I'm not doing anything. You know, you program yourself so much to feel like if I tell a lie enough, they will believe me. But lo and behold, that didn't happen. I didn't believe it. I wasn't trying to believe it. Thank you. I wasn't trying to believe it. All I wanted to do was just be happy. So I said, okay, Howard, what you want me to do? And all I was told was to sit still. Your soul and your flesh is going to get lonely. Your soul and your flesh is going to get in the need of thinking you need to be touched by a man. But you have to be strong enough to not let the flesh overcome your mind. So I said, okay, I'm gonna sit still. I've done it before. So I'm gonna sit still and I'm gonna see how this work out. So I did that. I sat still. I said, all right, I'm gonna sit still. I'm gonna see what's gonna happen. So here I am, a year done went by. I'm sitting still. And I'm like, well, this is weird. You know, this ain't how I want to be. And I've had multiple men try to talk to me. But because I wanted to get right, you know, I wanted to get right. I wanted to get over stuff. And I healed myself. I healed myself. I learned to fix myself. I released stuff out of me that was holding on to me. I got COVID in August of last year. This time, August last year, I had COVID. And I got really sick with it. I mean, deadly sick. And I used all my asthma pumps. And I was determined not to go to that ER. Because everything I hear, when they put you on that incubator, you ain't going to make it. When they put you on that thing, it's going to be hard. And you're not going to make it. That thing killing people. So I'm saying, I don't want to go to the hospital. My kids saying, Mama, you need to go to the hospital. No, I ain't going to go. So I didn't go. And I prayed. And I prayed hard. And then, during the time of having COVID, a lot of stuff was coming out of me when I would cough. And I was like, this is just me healing my body. I didn't take it as a bad thing. I took it as, it's stuff in you. Because like I said, anytime a man inserts himself in you, he leaves something in you. And anytime a man inserts himself in a woman, he walks away with something that she had. So all of that negativity, all that drinking, all that evilness, everything was in me. And I needed to bring it out. So fast forward, after I get better, I go back to work. And I'm at work and I'm struggling. I never had to use a wheelchair. But I park in the garage because I always park the car at the garage. And I walk over to the ticket thing and I almost passed out. And I said, dang, maybe I shouldn't go back to work. So I'm almost in tears. And the lady say, what's wrong? I say, it's just my asthma. Because it felt like I was finna have an asthma attack. So they got me a wheelchair and I cried. And this little old lady say, baby, why you crying? And I remember telling her, because I've never had to use a wheelchair out of all the years that I have traveled. I've never had to get a wheelchair assist. She said, just be thankful that it's available. Be thankful that you're able to travel. And I listened to this lady, and that was wisdom. Because we take for granted a lot of things that we should be thankful for. So I used this wheelchair, and listen, y'all, it was the best thing ever. I ain't never maneuvered through an airport with ease. Because I had to fly to Tennessee, so I had to go to Atlanta. And if you've been at an Atlanta airport, I hate that airport with a passion, even if I'm getting off at that airport. But this was a layover. My layover took me, and then I had to go to the little small airport in Chattanooga. But the thing about it is, the Chattanooga airport is small, so the wheelchair assist is not as helpful, but it's a small airport. But when I couldn't walk from baggage to the rental car place without sitting down for about 30 minutes because I couldn't get my breath back, it was bad. And then I realized, Tarisha, stop using that pump. Herbally heal yourself. And that was back in August of last year. And I stopped relying on my asthma pump to clear my ways, and I started burning. I started using essential oils, and I started eating different stuff. And lo and behold, I haven't had an asthma attack since. I've been good. I don't have no problems. I be walking. I could hike up the hills. I could go up the stairs. I could do all of this stuff without giving out of breath. Then I started to realize, all right, something ain't right. I just brought these pants. They falling off of me. See, my body's so full of steroids. So when people try to body shame you sometimes, you got to realize they don't know your walk. They don't know what you've been through. I've been on steroids since I was 16 so that I could breathe. I don't care how fat I am. I want to live, so I breathe. I take a steroid, and I don't think I started the steroids at 16 as heavily I was using it. I think I really started using it more in my 20s when I really started using the steroid and the pump. So Now, those Jaguars, new Jaguars are cute. I'm sorry, I'm being distracted. Anyway, so I stopped using it, and I started, you know, frankincense and some myrrh and some eucalyptus and I mean all natural stuff. So then I started getting more deeper into the holistic stuff. That's why I'm getting my medical degree in alternative medicine. So here I am. I'm like, well, if I knew this all along, I could have been doing this versus buying all these. Asthma. I got 3 inhalers that I have to have with me at all times. So with that being said, I started realizing, damn, I just bought these pants. Why they falling off? So I go back and I buy another pair. Now I'm in Old Navy almost every week buying more pants. So I'm getting nervous because I'm like, why am I losing weight like this? But that's all that steroids coming out of my body. Those steroids leaving my body. I can see better now without my glasses than I could with my glasses because I don't have those steroids in my body like that no more. My body don't have a whole bunch of steroids in it. It might still have some because I've been on it for a long time. When I was out in California working a couple of years back and I had to go to Site Medical so that I could get a handicap pass because we parked up on a hill and it really was bothering my asthma. And the guys knew me. They was like, Mr. Creasy, you can't do that with your asthma because I had severe asthma. So I said, well, that's where we park at. I don't have a choice. So the one supervisor said, no, I'm going to get you into Site Medical so they can do a review and make sure and see can they give you a pass. When I got back there, the guy said, I got to give you a breathing treatment. He gave me one. He said, I still don't like how you sound. I'm going to give you another one. Took the next one. He said, I still don't like it. I'm going to give you one more. And if it don't clear up, you're going to the emergency room. But it cleared up. And he said, how long you've had asthma? I said, since I was 16. He said, have they did a check on your heart? I said, I haven't had a heart scan yet. EKG. Not for anything dealing with asthma. He said, well, I'm going to send you for one. And I'm going to need you to get that before you can come back to work. So I went the next day and I got that. Came back, gave him that. He looked at the records. He said, your heart is perfect. You don't have no problems. He said, your weight. He said, the way steroids work, it works different on everybody. Some people, it blows them up all over. Some people, it blows them up in certain areas. Some people might lose hair. Some people might, it's just dependent. And your weight is carried up top because that's where all the steroids is sitting, up top. It's not going down to your legs or none of that. So I knew that already. And I told him, I say, I'm very aware of that. But I'd rather be as I am and breathe than to try and impress anybody and can't breathe. And he just laughed. He said, I never heard it that way, but I'm with you when you're right. So, when somebody's attacking me because they got a problem with my build, how I'm built, or how I look, that lets me know a couple of things. One, the mind ain't right. Two, they didn't know me all my life to know that I wasn't always like this. Three, that I don't give a fuck. Like, I truly don't give a fuck. Because while you're trying to bash me, and this is to help somebody, when somebody's trying to bash you, it's because they see something in you that they could never be. They see something in you that bothers their soul. And it's bothering their soul because their soul is hollow. They don't have what you have inside of you. What I have is pure happiness. What you see is what you're gonna get. Who I am is what you're gonna get. If you see me in person, you get to meet me in person, you're gonna say you the same person that you was on social media. I am identical to what I am on social media. I was talking to my ex from high school. So I called him, I say, listen, I need your help because I got a problem. And you know, anytime I call him, I never call him and say I got a problem. Even when I was being abused, I never told him. My cousin told him. He came to my house and I thought I was gonna get beat that night because my at the time my boyfriend he was pissed. He was like, why the motherfucker at my house? Why he at our house? And, you know, all of that. And I was like, I didn't give him my address. But, of course, a person like that ain't trying to hear what you're saying. And he told him, he said, listen, I'm going to tell you this right now. If you put your hands on her again, it's going to be me and you. If I leave here and I find out you put your hands on her, it's going to be a problem. So that night, I'm all nervous. Like, I am beyond nervous. I thought I was going to die that night. But this man never touched me. He cried. You going to leave me for him. So when you're dealing with abuse, you know how to say the things to keep you from getting hit. I'm like, I don't want him. I haven't talked to that man since high school. I don't want him. And I didn't want him, but I had to make it be convincing to him so he wouldn't beat me. See, I've been through a lot. I've been through more than a lot of people would ever be able to handle in life. One thing I will tell you, the worst thing that a woman can ever deal with is abuse. Because it takes something out of you. But the abuse that you think that takes the most out of you isn't what takes the most out of you. The abuse of mental and emotional abuse destroys you. It takes every ounce out of you because it causes you to think less of yourself, and you cannot build yourself from that if you don't get proper help. But when you're getting beat physical, that's a hard and awful thing. And people used to say, just leave. It's not always that easy. I left. I left my house, my home that was financed, my home. With the in-ground pool, Olympic-sized pool, huge-ass, beautiful house. I left that house because I hated being there, because he was beating me there. So when I left that house, I thought I would get away from him. I didn't care if he stayed there. I just wasn't paying the mortgage no more. I didn't care. I wasn't going back. None of that. I just hated being in my house. This is a house that I worked hard for in my 20s. I purchased my first house, my early 20s. So then I go and I'm thinking, all right, I leave the house. Eventually they'll come, they'll foreclose on the house and I could get away from him. This man showed up at my job and tried to kill me at my job. Good thing is I had to give the gal to get him to trust me. He trusted me, he took my car, he left. He said, I'll be back to pick you up for work. When he came back, the police was there waiting on him. Because I called the detectives that was on my case. And I said, he just left my job. He took my car. I know you guys will be off from work. I get off at 5. He will be back to pick me up. I don't know what to do. The lady came to my desk. I'll never forget this lady. Little short lady, and I mean short. She sat down to my desk. She said, act like you're helping me. So I slid some blueprints in front of her. She said, I'm Detective XYZ, and don't stress and don't worry. I'm not going to let anything happen to you. I'm going to get up and go in the bathroom. You come in the bathroom after me. So she went in the bathroom, and then I waited a little bit, and I went in the bathroom. She showed me the gun in her purse. She said, he will not bother you. I am going to be sitting in the lobby. My crew is outside. They will take him down. All I know is that she got a radio call a few minutes after saying that and said suspect has been apprehended. She said, okay, we good to go. Let's go outside if you can. I said, okay. So I logged off of everything. I went outside like nothing. They took me to the parking lot where my car was. Nobody knew anything was going on. See, you work in a survival to get out of abuse. See, people take fun of that. And they say, oh, he should have finished you off. Finish me off for what? See, what you wish on me gonna be wished upon on you. That wish that you wish for me or that you pray for me to have is gonna be back on you. A lot of people don't realize that. You can get so mad with somebody, and when you start talking about evil stuff and negative stuff, see, God sees everything. I don't care if you don't believe in the same God that I believe in. I don't care if you worship a spirit. I don't care if you worship a mule. That mule eventually gonna kick you in your head and kill you. because you've done so much evil to so many people. And you play like, oh, I didn't do nothing. I own up to anything that I do. I own up to everything that I do. Everything. And that's what we have to realize. Take ownership in what you do. If you can't take ownership in it, then ask yourself, why am I doing it? Why am I so afraid to take ownership in something? People will have you feeling like you're the scum of the earth. And I'm here to tell you, you're not. You got so much goodness in you, but because you're not with the right people, you don't see all the greatness in your life. You have so much goodness upon you that you don't see how blessed and fortunate you are in life. We have so much goodness in us, but because, like I said earlier today, the people that we are around don't celebrate us. They don't celebrate us. They don't applaud us. They don't clap for us. They don't cheer for anybody. They want everybody to cheer for them, but they don't know how to celebrate somebody else. And see, that's not how I live. I celebrate everybody. I'm over here this morning, the only thing I could think of when I woke up, because I'm grateful to wake up, is that somebody is about to receive the biggest blessing they ever could imagine. And they're not going to know how to act, because they wasn't prepared for this. Sometimes our biggest blessings come from when we don't know. It just drop off in our lap. It's like, here, I'm here. Now what you gonna do with me? I saw something earlier today where the person said, make sure after you receive what you pray for, you pray for the guidance so that you can keep it and grow it in magnitude. We don't do that. Soon as we get it, we done. We only praying because we want it right now. Okay, now you get it right now. What else you gonna do with it? All right, I done got this. I prayed for it. I got this man, we together, he wanna get married. You rush, you marry him. Now you trying to talk, you know, bad to everybody else, be negative to everybody else, but you forgot. The same prayer need to be prayed on top of you asking for guidance and peace to keep y'all together. But instead, you too busy doing something else and forget to pray. You too busy, you know, I got the husband. This my husband. But did you pray and say, God, now that I got my husband, or now that I got the man I asked for, or now that I finally got happiness and a great relationship or a great job, I pray for you to keep my mind and my home and my life together so that I could grow in magnitude, be promoted in this job, that I could learn and prosper. We don't do that. Once we get it, we want to stop. Oh, I already got it. I ain't got to worry about it no more. But you got to learn how to, continue to ask for blessings in it. Because the biggest thing is, once you get it, all kind of things going to come for you in life. I asked God after my father died. I said, listen, I don't know what I'm going to do without my dad, because that was my everything. I love my mama to death. She's my everything. And my father was my everything. My parents have been the biggest motivators in my life. So I said, God, what am I going to do? My daddy did. I don't even know how to handle this. Like, what do I do? It's my birthday, my daddy. He took his last breath on his baby girl birthday. And I cried a little. And then I said, I can't keep crying. Because my daddy wouldn't want to see me crying. He hated if I was in pain or if I was crying. He hated if I dated somebody and they made me sad. Like, my daddy would get angry. He would get so mad. My sisters and them could date somebody. He never said a word. He would let them do whatever. And I remember asking my dad one day, I say, Daddy, why you always, you treat me different? And you make sure, you know, you get angry quick when I do something that if somebody do something to me and I just ignore it and I suck it up. He said, because you my baby. Them other ones know the streets. And I don't want you to know the streets. I say, but dad, I know it because I watch you. And I see every move that you make. He said, I know that you watch me, but I don't want you in this lifestyle. So when I say I know the streets, and I know the non-street stuff. Because my family wanted me to be over here and not be over there. Even my brothers and my sisters, that's my baby sister, she can't do that. That's my baby sister, she can't go here. That's my baby sister, we don't want her talking to you. At 48 years old, I will be 49 in a few more days. I still go through that with my siblings. I still go through that. My brother, you ain't answering me. Who you over there with? You know, I get this all the time. My one sister, the second youngest sister, I get stuff from her also. Because she wanna know what you doing. We weren't talking for years. And then when my dad died, we rekindled and we started back talking and we good. And she called me and she said, you okay out there? See, when our oldest sister was in the feds, me and my sister was the closest we've ever been. And whenever I traveled for work, my sister would always call me. And when that police pulled that gun on me in Louisiana and I called my sister crying and scared because I couldn't understand. That's the one that told me, because you wasn't exposed to racism. You don't understand it because you didn't get to live in it. So you gonna have to toughen up and realize that everybody not gonna be close to you. See, I don't understand why we down each other when we already got a struggle going on as a female, especially an African-American, or like I like to say, I'm black female. We go through so much in life. But some of y'all are so stuck on tearing each other down that you don't understand how blessed we are to walk the next day. How blessed we are to get an education, because back in the days, blacks weren't allowed to get an education. How blessed we are. I pledged a sorority. I got into a sorority. I wanted to join the Eastern Star. That's where I really wanted to be, because the sorority wasn't really what I wanted. But I did it anyways. So now I'm looking like, here, Takrisha, you've been in this thing almost 30 years. You can't even go to sleep without doing something Eastern Star related. Whether it's the Eastern Star or one of our higher degrees, you can't let it go for a month because you're so used to it. And I like to spread the word and show people how great it is. This has changed my life. If it wasn't for me joining the order, I would have been in a lot of trouble with some of the things that I was leading myself to do with the wrong people. You gotta have people that's pouring into you, that's telling you when you're wrong and when you're right, when you need to be celebrated and when you need to be sat down and talked to. When you see your friends doing things that they should not be doing. See, one thing I don't do is let anybody go through life bullying anybody. Because I would tell them, you know you're wrong. You don't bully people. You don't try to do negative stuff to people. You should be cheering that person. But some people don't realize that. If I react on something. But if I'm going to sit there and say today, I'm going to just talk about somebody in a negative way. If you go to my page, I've been on Facebook since 2000 and, I've been on Facebook a long time. 2000 and, it is a long time. 2005, 2000 something, whenever it started, I've been on Facebook. And if you go look at all my posts, my page is fully open. I don't hide nothing. And I'm not. I don't care what nobody say, what people feel, what you should make it private. No, I'm not. Because my page is to help people. So if you go to my page and you look at my page, you're going to say, she's always posted something motivational, something funny, something comical. Oh, she was sad on this day. Oh, she was mad on this day. But then she came right back with motivation and inspiration attached to the angry post. She might have been mad with somebody, or somebody might have did something to her. But in the end, at the end of the post, she literally motivated or encouraged somebody or that person to do something. I don't have time for all of that other stuff. I don't have time for that. I don't do all of that. And yes, I'm better than that. I am so much better than that. See, when back in the days, to get in Forbes coaching, they had to contact you and interview you. Then after they interview you, because they've already researched you, and then they look at your income, and you had to get them proof. So when the lady reached out to me, I thought it was BS at first. Then I did my little research. I was like, oh no, this is real. So when I sent her what they needed, I got a nice welcome, and I hit the floor and I was rolling. I was going. I was working so much in my business. That's the year that I tipped that $1.8 million because I was dedicated. Nobody had to tell me what to do. Nobody had to say, hey, this ain't going to happen for you, or this ain't going to happen, because the people I was around was motivating and cheering me, whether it was for their own benefit or their own perks or whatever. I remember when I was with old boy, and we went to Vegas for his birthday, and they was talking about something, and they went to talking about Forbes. So he looked at me and I looked at him, and he just kind of like gave me this look, which meant don't even entertain it. But what it meant was they had looked to see who Ben was dating. And normally I don't say his name, but they had looked to see who he was in a relationship with. And if you Google my name, it comes up. And that's happened to me multiple times. I don't hide nothing, but some things I just don't talk about, because people look at you different. Especially if it's not the right caliber of people that you need to be around. And that's what we have to realize, especially as women. Go where you are celebrated and not just tolerated. Go where you are celebrated, where people are literally cheering you on and excited and happy to have you around them, versus being around people that don't have nothing going for themselves. But we don't understand that. We just don't get it. We don't understand it. We think that we got to hold on to certain relationships and situationships and stuff. But we don't. We don't. We got to be amongst those that are fully for us. We can't just keep being with people that really don't even celebrate us and don't even care. They're too busy downing you versus uplifting you. And that's what we don't need. And I don't understand for the life of me, as a black female, what satisfaction do you get out of tearing somebody down? What satisfaction do you get out of looking for something to say the person did to you, or looking for something that is, I don't know, just looking for something that's negative? If you wake up in the morning and first thing you say is, oh, I ain't gonna have no good day at work, how you know? You already setting yourself up to not have a good day. Versus if you wake up and say, thank you for waking me up, I am blessed to be here, today gonna be a blessed day. See, what you speak becomes reality. Itself for you, what you speak of yourself becomes reality. But if you wake up and you say, oh, I want Lisa to fall down the steps at work and break her neck, that ain't gonna happen to Lisa. It's gonna happen to you. You know why it's gonna happen to you? Because you're too focused to see if Lisa gonna make that fall and you gonna miss a step and there you go tumbling down. We don't realize when we so hooked on trying to see wrong happen in a person's life, we missing the rights that could be happening in our life. So you wake up and you say, I want Lisa to trip down them stairs and break her neck. But Lisa don't trip down the stairs and break her neck. You trip. And then they like, well, how did she fall? Because she was watching Lisa. Because she wished for Lisa to trip and fall. But because she paying so much attention to see if Lisa gonna miss one of them stairs, instead of Lisa missing the step, she missed the step. Instead of Lisa having the problem, you had a problem. Ain't nobody trying to wake up in the morning and try to wish evil on somebody. And if you waking up doing that, you gotta stop. If that's what you waking up doing every morning, then you gotta ask yourself, what's wrong with me? Why do I want everybody to have hardship? Is that the reason why I'm struggling? Is that the reason why everything in my life seemed to be a problem? Is that the reason why I can't get the happiness that I truly desire and need? See, we could sit on social media and we could text and type all this stuff to make people feel that our life is something. And in reality, you're sitting behind that computer or that phone and you're probably in tears. You're sitting behind that computer and that phone and you don't know what's going on. You don't know where your next meal gonna come from. You don't know if you could stretch that $13 or that $12 you got in your pocket or that $1 you got in your account. If it's gonna last till you get some more money. You've done so wrong to so many people, you just don't know what to do. You find fault in everything. You find energy in anything negative because you're filled with negative. See, when you're filled with negative, you need more negativity to power you up. Because the minute the positive hits your soul, it's like a seance. You burn. You have problems. You're going crazy. Oh, I really like what she said. Oh, I hate her. I can't like her stuff. That's craziness. That's craziness. And a lot of women are dealing with that. And a lot of it stems from, when was the last time you sat still and healed yourself? When was the last time you said, nope, I'm going to just sit still. I don't want to talk to nobody right now. I just want to sit still and just take a deep breath and focus on me and focus on the things that allow me to be happy and figure out where I want to go in life, plan some things to do in life, find a new circle of people to be around. I really want to take this training, but because I isolate myself into watching Lisa all day, I'm too tired or I don't have enough time to do any of that. Well, stop watching Lisa. Stop watching Lisa. Stop sitting at your desk like that guy on the movie Belly, eating a banana saying you don't like this because you see somebody being successful. So now you're trying to plot, okay, I want you to go over here and I want you to kill Lisa because I want Lisa gone and I feel better about myself. But are you really going to feel better about yourself or are you just going to cling to somebody else? And then, because you ain't got Lisa dead now. You ain't got nothing to say negative about Lisa no more because you done killed Lisa off. So now what do? Nothing changes. Everything stays the same. People still going to say, man, I remember when Lisa used to come to work and she would do X, Y, and Z. Oh, Lisa was great. You going to keep hearing Lisa's name in a positive manner. So now what do you do? Because it ain't going away. It's going to still be there. Even though you done killed Lisa off. Lisa gone. Maybe killing Lisa off mean you got them to fire Lisa or whatever. And they realized Lisa really wasn't the problem. It wasn't Lisa. You know, Lisa was a hard worker. Lisa did her thing. Lisa was in here and she came early every day. She did what she needed to do. And here y'all come rolling up in here 45 minutes or so late here and there. Or 5 minutes late every day. But Lisa would have been at work long time ago. That could be why you hate Lisa so much. And then you sit there and you say, okay, well, I understand Lisa, you know, everybody liked her. But what about me? Here you are. What about me as an adult? And I ain't talking about a legal age adult, 18, 21. I'm talking about a whole grown ass adult, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And it's, what about me? I need y'all to like me like y'all like Lisa. I'm just as good as Lisa. But really you're not. And you so distanced from who you are that you don't see who you really are. We all done seen you in action. And now we still not paying you no attention. But you done killed Lisa off. Lisa ain't with the company no more. Lisa gone. And are you still gonna be any better? No. Because you know what you're gonna do? Find another Lisa. So we hire somebody and we bring in Tanya. Tanya the new Lisa. Everybody love Tanya. Now you're gonna have a problem with Tanya. Because what about me? I didn't get the attention that y'all give Lisa, and now Tanya getting that attention. What about me? You know, it's hard for somebody to really like somebody that got a wicked spirit. That's always trying to one-up somebody or down somebody or I'm better than this person or competition or I'm gonna tell on this person. I'm gonna make up a fake excuse. I'm gonna keep doing this. I'm gonna set her up and make her look like she a failure. I'm gonna talk bad about her. I'm gonna do all of this stuff. But the people who know her looking like, what is she talking about? That's not how that person is. What's the problem? Because see, it's never gonna end until you get around people that celebrate you. And when your celebration is coming from negativity, you're not going to have many people celebrate you. Your circle ain't going to be that strong. You're going to have to go find the drama people that sit at home and don't do nothing all day and they like negativity. So then you got to stop working because they need you out there with them on the porch drinking and talking about, you know, somebody in a negative way or playing on social media or that's what those people do. Or you get off from work and you over there with them and all night you up. So when you go to work, you tired. You're not productive. You can't do what you're supposed to do. You can't keep up with your work. So now your job looking at you like, okay, something is wrong. You slacking. We're going to have to write you up. Then we write you up again. Then we're going to have to let you go. Because you're not putting the dedication in the job that we need you to put into the job. That we know you used to do it, but what's wrong? Oh, well, I'm hanging out with these people, and I be over there with them, and I'm up to 2, 3 in the morning knowing I got to be to work at 8 o'clock, and then I got to drive home, and then I got to get ready for work, and by the time I lay down and go to bed, it's 3, 4 in the morning, and I got to get up because I got an hour drive to work. See, we don't look at the people that we associate ourselves with. I was home for 2 months. And I rarely came out. And I was perfectly fine with that. But then I started going out here and there and whatever. And then when it's time to go to work the next morning, I'm like, all right, this ain't working. So I'm going to have to cut this out because my body is tired. I got to give my body a break. Because I need a break or I'm going to break. We think we got to be on the scene all the time, but here and there is fine. Y'all are living, a lot of you are living to impress other people. But when you're going to impress yourself and go after the things that you desire in life? When are you going to say enough is enough and I'm going to go for what I want in life? See, I've been playing around for years. And I never really put the, I always say I'm going to do it and I never do it. I come back and I say I'm going to do it and I don't never do it. I'm going to do my conference. I'm not going to do it. All right, Teresa, you ain't ready to do the conference yet. Then the one year I was ready and I got out there and I went to the hotel and I got the contract signed and we was going to be at the Marriott World Center. The people were so excited because they researched me. They even brought my book because I'm a published author. They brought my book. They came back. When I got there, they was like, can you sign our book? So I'm looking at them like, really? They was like, yeah, we brought copies and we wanted to know if you would sign it. They were so excited to have us there. You know what the problem was? Hurricane came. Couldn't have my conference. And they were so hurt that they couldn't sponsor my host my first conference. So at that time, I was like, all right, I ain't going to have it this time. I'll do it another time. You know, and I was okay with that. And then I said, I'm going to wait. And then I'm going to wait. Keeps going. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. But September next year will be my very first conference that I'm doing, that I'm fully hosting. And it's called The Wedding, Married to the Lifestyle. See, we get married to a person. But what about your lifestyle? When did you say I do to the real lifestyle that you want? When was the last time you said I do to the lifestyle that you want and vow yourself not to break your vow? That you commit to living successfully. That you commit to being happy and to get over being negative. You commit to letting go of whatever pain and problems are holding you back. That you start looking at your past and look at your future. What happened in 2020 or 2021 happened back then. What are you doing right now? What are you doing for the future? What are you doing to move forward in life? And that's what we don't understand. See, it's a lot of people holding on to what happened in January of 2021. Oh, I was broke back in January of 2021. Okay, that was back then. What you did the next 11 months. See, one thing about me, I go down to my last penny on purpose just to show y'all. All it takes for you to dedicate and motivate yourself and push yourself and stop being scared and ask for a sale. Because I will hustle my ass off. I will sell whatever that's legal and I will make some money so that I won't say I'm broke. But a lot of us don't realize that because we're too busy chasing stuff. We're too busy chasing circles. Circles that don't add up to nothing. I remember telling somebody this. Like verbatim, telling them, y'all all had to sit to that table and put y'all money together to enjoy three drinks that y'all shared for happy hour. I ain't never had that kind of damn problem in my life, ever. If I don't have the money to go to happy hour, then my happy hour gonna be right at my house. I'm gonna fix me a drink and be happy as hell in my home. But I remember telling this person this, and I remember him looking at me like, what? I say, yeah, exactly what I said. No words came out of his mouth. It was the look. I say, yes, exactly what I just said. You literally went to happy hour with a group of people that y'all had to throw all y'all money together on the table to come up with to buy three drinks that y'all all shared for happy hour. Make it make sense. Because if y'all all struggling like that, why the hell you at happy hour? Like I said earlier, I poll. And it said, most people say they spend $50 a week, a day. I'm sorry, $50 a day on coffee and lunch. You're not broke. You just ain't using your money right. You far from broke. You got money. Hell, you spending $50 a day times 5 days. So you done went through what, $250? For what? For coffee and lunch. Why you couldn't take a sandwich or fix a salad and take it to work or take some leftovers or anything? Because we try to live on the fast lane. Well, I got money, not realizing 250, you to do that times 26 weeks, you're out of a lot of money. You out of, well, 52 weeks. 52 weeks, I'm saying 26 because I'm thinking bi-weekly pay people. But just say 52 weeks out of the year times $250. And you say you broke and you can't go anywhere? You're not broke. You're not broke at all.